Lord, just put this on my heart today. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 says, "The light of the body is the eye. For thine eye be single, the whole body will be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. Therefore, the light that is in thee be darkness. How great is that darkness?" So, first of all, he's not talking about your natural eye here. He's just using it as an analogy. He's actually talking about the eye of your heart, your spirit man's eye, the eternal eye. You know, your body lays down, that eyeball right there is going to lay down with it. But there's another eyeball behind that eyeball. Do you know that? There was a man, it's a really good analogy, named Donald Cohen, really popular in the 80s. But he had lost an eye, and so he had a glass eye, and the Lord did something really remarkable with him, is he let him see out of an eye socket that had no eyeball. He could take his eyeball out, and they would tape the other side of his face all together, and he could literally read in perfect vision with no eyeball. It baffled scientists, absolutely baffled everybody. He'd go travel everywhere. All these people trying to said, "Oh, he's a fake, he's a fraud." So he'd just take the glass eyeball out, and the scientists would see there's no eye in there. They had the whole side of his face taped off, and he could read perfectly. Well, all the Lord did was in reverse, is he took that spirit eye and just let him see in the natural. Well, the spirit eye is probably the most important aspect of your life. Whatever's going on with that eye is going to determine where you will be, where you stand, or where you get blown off course. If you have no light in that eye, you'll get blown off course very fast. The enemy will constantly wage a war against that eye. What you see with that eye, what's going on. The Lord wants ownership of that eye. So when he said, if your eye be single, that word single is a very interesting word. It's made of two words called alpha pleco. The word alpha, we get the word alpha with the Lord. He's on the alpha and omega. Pleco means basket or to weave with a basket. If your eye is singularly interwoven into Christ, the alpha, your whole body is going to be full of light. But if your eye be evil, the word evil is interesting. It's not evil in the sense that you and I are understand evil. It actually means poneris. Poneris means full of labors, annoyances. Anybody annoyed you lately? Let's just take people out of the equation. Has anybody been annoyed lately with circumstance? Full of labors, hardships, pressed and harassed. Toil, annoyances, peril. If your eye is full of the labors of this world system, the annoyances of this world system, then your whole body is going to be filled with that system. And we say your body, it's talking about the embodiment of your spirit. Your spirit's going to get filled with that stuff. So the war is waged around the eye. What you see, not this eye, but that other eye. If that eye does not get interwoven properly with Christ, it won't have the light to walk in. Like Tina was talking about, there's many different levels of light we can walk in. Where he really wants us, what I'm going to show you today, he wants that eye fixated into your promised land. He does not want that eye fixated into the annoyance, the hardship, the labors, the toils. So I want to bring us back to where we were a month ago with that understanding. I'm going to take us back to the Jordan in Joshua. In Joshua 3, verse 11, let's go back there for a minute. Children of Israel, promised land. How many of you are here when we walk through the promised land? He has everybody there. And what he's going to do, he has a people that are about to enter the promised land. They're going to cross over this Jordan baptism, we're going to call it. And all these people have known, they didn't have a cell phone. They didn't have books in their hands to look at. They had no imagery like a TV that supplied imagery. The only imagery they had never been to this promised land in their life, none of them. They didn't get to Google what it looked like. All they could do is dream of what it looked like by what God said about it. And it was given by Moses. And in fact, he told them repeatedly, cleave to these words. Don't let them go. They're your life. In reality, they were, because they're the only thing that's going to give you light to where you're going. There's no other light. In this day and age, our eye is barraged by a constant flow of media information, media images. How many of you ever just, and be truthful, just sit on Facebook and just scroll? Come on, raise your hand. I can sit on X sometime and just scroll. It never ends. You're always looking for the next thing. And you find yourself 30 minutes goes by. 45 minutes goes by. Scrolling. Because the imagery, a system of imagery has been put in the front lifts of our eyes of this generation. No other generation like this one, where a barrage of media, entertainment, imagery is constantly in front of these eyes, which go into that other eye. And that's not always good. That's a huge, huge distraction. And it takes a lot to keep your eye fixed. Well, I'm not talking about a fix on Christ your Savior. He's trying to get your eye fixed into a position, like Tina was saying, a future position, a done position. We've been preaching on this for years now. In a finished, done position. In fact, I can't actually do that unless I leave this system. That's why he shuts the door. And he opens the door. By he that has the key, Revelation said, he shutteth the door and no man can open it. He opens the door and no man can shut it. You have to shut the world out. To do that, you leave the system of the world. You shut that door, and then your eye gets recalibrated. You gotta go through a calibration, especially in this generation, almost daily. Because there's too much influence coming in. And like no other place. Used to be just the TV. It's no longer TV. It's the cell phones now. The cell phone is supplying. And Elon Musk is already talking about bringing out another phone. He goes, the next phone is not going to be a cell phone like you know it. It's going to be an AI tool that's going to rewrite your whole life. Everything you do, say, it's going to be in the palm of your hands. It's literally going to be an AI instrument that runs your life. And he said, we won't even call it a phone anymore. I mean, these guys are thinking way outside the box. What I'm saying is, this whole element of walking with God, being singularly interwoven with Christ, is going huge. It takes a lot of discipline to keep your eye fixed, because the enemy wants to move it off course, stick it in yesterday, stick it in today, what's going on. The last place he wants is sticking it into the finished work and planting it there. And he'll fight you in ways that if we're not disciplined enough, you just won't understand. You won't see it coming. Because God has to fix us into that place. So when he brings them to the Jordan, the first thing he does is he calls for the waters to be rolled back and stand up all the way to the city of Adam. I don't know how far that was, but the water stopped what was there went all the way to the Dead Sea. There's imagery there because he's washing everything from that point down into the Dead Sea. And he's rolling the other waters back to Adam. They walk across dry land just like they did in the Red Sea. But Corinthians called that a baptism. It was still a baptism. Because it was signifying I'm rolling away the reproach of Adam. Right there. And then he goes, and when they get over into Gilgal, he says, this day I roll away the reproach of Egypt. Now what was Egypt? It was bondage. It was slavery. It was always working for someone else. It was being under the influence of they were born in a debt situation. They died in a debt situation. They never owned anything. Everything they did, they worked for somebody else. They labored. It's a total epitome of the world system. You could call it mammon in really ways. Mammon is not just going after money. Mammon, poverty is a greater taskmaster than having superabundant wealth. Poverty will rule your life. There's two ways mammon can rule your life. Yes, you can go after superabundance and it totally distracts you. But that's not even the blessing of God, because the blessing of God makes rich and doesn't add the sorrow. There's a blessing. Peter brought that out. It was really amazing. He said, listen, when God blesses you, there's an anointing with it. There's a glory. There's a life. There's a presence with it. Mammon brings strings and control. You hear it a lot when people in Hollywood, a lot of them sign contracts for their life. And while the first couple of years is great, it becomes a major anchor weight upon them, like an anvil. I mean, it just drags them straight down because they have to sign a deal with the devil. A lot of them do. That's just a fact. These people that have no talent whatsoever get a $200 million contract immediately. And so these things happen, but that's a far stretch. But what I'm saying, mammon has a spirit with it. And when you grow up under that spirit, it gets integrated down into the systems of your thoughts. The way you think, the way you believe, the way you look at things. And it's very hard to break out because it gets integrated inside you. When stuff gets inside you, that's when it's dangerous. There's circumstance outside, then there's circumstance inside. And when that stuff from there gets inside you, they'll lock you up. And they were locked down. He sends them. So all they knew is this whole system where all they did was work for somebody else. And then they go to the wilderness, which God taught them, I'm your provider out here. But even the wilderness it wasn't the promised land. It was just barely enough. There was a lot of design for the wilderness. But God changed all that when he brought them into the edge of the Jordan. He said, listen, we have to roll this off of you. We have to roll this out from within you. We have to roll this reproach you were born into away. We have to shatter these chains. There has to be a breaking and a shattering of the way you believe and see. And when he said circumcise them again, it was a signification you're circumcising the eye. You're not going to look at wilderness desert anymore. You're not going to be looking at Egypt anymore. You're going to be looking at a new day I have for you. None of them really knew what the promised land looked like. They're on the edge of it, but they're about to explore it first time. They had to set their heart and their imagination into what God said. And God said, no, keep that. He only had one thing in their heart when they were in Gilgal. I only want you to look at the promised land. I want you to see it. I want you to breathe it. I want you to look at it. I want you to dream it. There was nowhere else to go. They couldn't look at Adam. They couldn't look at Egypt. And they couldn't look at the wilderness. He goes, all that, I shut that door. You have to see when you go through the Jordan, he closed that Jordan up. What he's signifying is all of this is over now. If any man draw back, look back. My soul has no pleasure. I'm not back there. There was a time God was there, but that time is no more. God is not in our past. He's in the new. So when he circumcised, he wanted the eye interwoven into Christ. Christ is more than just a savior. When you interweave with him, he said your whole body will be full of light. He'll start supplying the light of who you are in him. He'll start supplying the light of where you're going in him. He'll start supplying the light of a finished realm with him. The more you look at him, the more light he gives you. The more you can hold, the more you can keep, the more you can interweave with him, the more light you're going to have. The less you do it, the less light. The more you let the world interweave, that's what gets inside you. You have to watch what's going on inside. Always. As we keep that, because when he had them in Gilgal, the only thing he wanted them to look at is now is promised land. There's nothing else for you to look at. I shut the door to everything else. I want you interwoven. How do we do that? He told them many, many times, cleave to these words. He would tell them what the promised land looked like. He would tell them what they would do. He would tell them, listen, I'm going to give you, imagine that, cities and homes you did not build. We live in a society, you sign the contract of debt. You sign the contract of debt, but then you work for it. I give it to you now, but 40 years. They're moving now to 50-year mortgages. It's a good thing if you pay 50 years. You can get a house cheaper, but you're going to pay your whole life. It will get people into house, but if you actually look at leasing, you could probably do better leasing. Let somebody else pay the 50 years. But God says, listen, I want to give you city homes paid for. I like Ron DeSantis. He goes, man, look, he wants to do away with property tax in Florida altogether. He goes, look, if you already paid for your house, then why do you got to pay for it again? How many of you got a house and then tax time? You paying again. Mammon is all around you. You're going to be at war with mammon. Mammon never stops. This whole system we live in is actually a debt-based system, by the way. Those dollars are debt instruments, but that's what we use, so. It's what the world makes the world go round right now. But it's a debt-based system. To get out of that, you can't be in it. That's deep. Call it the deep. Oh my God. You should have heard what my pastor said. To be out of it, you can't be in it. How do I get out? I have to look. The kingdom of God cometh not with the observation in the earth. The kingdom's within you. I have to look. I'm going to have to be interwoven. I have to train my eye to be disciplined. I have to every day train mine eye. That's what we do when we go through the door. We go into the Jordan. We're going through a daily baptism. Break it. Shatter it. Bury it. Circumcise it. Kill it. Present that old man to die. There's two things that doesn't like to die very much. Mammon and your old man. None of them like to die. You see, they pop right back up. You put them down and bam, there they are again. You've got to use your faith. Plant that stuff down where it belongs. And in that's like how I like to, when I rise, I'm raised up together with Christ, I'm ready to be joined with him. See, I think of this daily joining, and I love this scripture. He translated me out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I feel myself when I, sometime like he'll be a lily that's slowly turning like this. I mean, like, and I just feel myself stepping in and just being interwoven. My whole eye and I'm going like this while it turns. And my whole being, while I'm speaking all these words, my whole being is being interwoven into his rest. Interwoven. Why? I'm trying to break that system of control and mammon because it drives you. It drives you. Like the way I describe it, how many of you ever try to pray and then all this stuff comes up? The to-do list comes up. Man, you got to overcome the to-do list. If the to-do list is still whooping your behind, I mean, you're way behind. You got to get, you got to get beyond the to-do list thing. I mean, there's bigger fish to fry than the to-do list. I'll tell you that. But you got to get, but as you get interwoven, see, in keeping and speaking and seeing and saying and keeping and speaking and seeing and saying what's and agreeing and speaking and seeing and agreeing and saying, when you're doing this process, it's part of cleaving to him. And when you do this, you're going to get light from that realm. And that light is what lights you up inside. It causes you to move forward in him. You can't move yourself forward in the kingdom in your own strength. The only way you can move forward is cleave to him, and he's already forward. Isn't that awesome? Christ is already forward. He's where you are. He's where you are. He'll go back where you are and, you know, put a pacifier in your mouth. He's where you are. But he's also where you're going. And man, these days, he's just standing in the finish line all the time. It's like, come join me here. It's a much better place. The other day we were praying. I told Anna, I was just being inundated. And the enemy will do that. He'll just inundate you with stuff. Just, it's like he just, you know, opens a socket. It's the wrong stuff coming out, but it's just full everything. And it's like, I didn't even have the strength to pray. I just shifted. I just went and stood before the mirror. I said, everything right now is going. And I went and just stood in a future position and prayed the whole time. And you know, after about 5 or 10 minutes of that, I just left all that stuff behind. Because that's not where I was focused. I wasn't in the now anymore. I was just praying from the finished realm. And then soon enough, it's just amazing. You get shifted over there and like, whoa. And that's the power of standing in this place with him. And so he wanted him to see the promised land. I give you a land with cities, homes you didn't build. He's promising you. People say, oh, that's just going after mammon. No! Prosperity by God is different than mammon of the world. Mammon is a control freak. God is a blessing. It comes with a different spirit upon it. He goes, I give you vineyards and olive trees. You did not have to plant them. He's speaking to them in terms of, I'm going to cause you to be an inheritor now. Amazing. He takes them from really a slavery position to inheritance. Isn't that amazing? And that's why you had to circumcise, because I have to change the way you think about things. There's a really good book you should read sometime, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Robert Kiyosaki, I think his name is. But he talked about, he was a super wealthy guy, but he talked about how the difference between the poor dad and the rich dad. They think differently. You're raised differently. It's a paradigm there. If we don't shift with God into these realms where we start drinking freely from wells we did not dig, we partake of vineyards and fields and olive trees. We didn't plant them. We come to reap. We have to move in these places with the Lord. And the only way we're going to do that in this society we live in, where everything wants to captivate our attention from the time we wake up, what's the first thing to do? Grab your cell phone. I know you're not that holy, but most of you are. Who's that holy? Raise your hand. Who wakes up with a cell phone? Come on. Come on, brave souls. Huh? It's right there. Everybody knows. We all know we wake up with a cell phone. I have an alarm on my cell phone. I wake up with the Bible. It's on my cell phone. It's not what I look at the first thing. It's what I should be looking at. And every day I was like, Lord, why do I do this? Because, man, the longer you go on the cell phone, the images start. They start taking. And here's the thing. Your greatest grace in the mornings, it's right there. Because God's reset the day. He's reset your, your system. You're not waking up with a bunch of stuff. Unless you just went to bed with a whole bunch of stuff, you're not going to wake up. The night's good because sleep resets your system. So the quicker you can get that man in touch with God right then. I mean, I have to have coffee. I mean, there's kind of a routine with me. There's a few things got to wake me up. But the quicker you can get out there, the less things you have to take off. The more stuff you put on, the harder it is for you to get in to where the light is. He stands in a place of light. He calls you to be with me where I am. It's the price of our generation. The cell phones are winning the present battle. The holidays are worse. They have a whole nother. So now we have holiday season on top of cell phone. I do it. I'm not condemning you. I'm a cell phone guy. I'm an iPad guy. But then you got the holidays coming in. Why do they start playing Christmas music before Thanksgiving? Because they want your money. They want you to get into the Christmas spirit of giving. They really want you in the Christmas spirit of buying. That's why they do Black Friday on Thanksgiving. Or right after, day after. All the sales, because all the money is going to be made. While they sing the holiday cheer, they got to get you ready. Praise God. So while we're doing all that, remember, there is a God. Remember Christ. Remember, He's our light. Don't let your heart go dim and then wake it back up in January. Everybody wants to wake up in January. Everybody starts talking about fasting in January. Why? Because you done put on 25 pounds. I wasn't looking at anybody. I'm looking at myself. Don't forget the interwovenness of the eye of the heart. Don't forget in this season. It's going to be a battle. I'm not telling you it's not going to be a battle. But don't wake up January 1st and lose all the ground you made this year. Keep your heart while you're doing everything else. Make it a priority to make Him the priority and get your eye where it belongs. Interwoven into the Alpha Christ so He can give you light. So when January comes around, you'll be standing in February. You'll be standing in March. You'll be standing full of glory. You've got to keep that light, because that light is what opened the face of God. He says, you want to see real light? Come over here and be with me where I am. Done. Keep it in the promised land. He circumcised us for a reason. I believe we're in prime time. Breakthrough arena. But we can't let go. We've got to keep it. Amen. Say keep it. Cleave. Cleave. That's a word. He said cleave. You know when you cleave something, you just get your bare knuckles on it. But don't cleave in the flesh. You bare knuckle in the spirit. If you bare knuckle something in the flesh, you'll never keep anything that way. But in the spirit, you can bare knuckle. Amen. His word. While you walk next to the ark, lest there be an Uzzah. I'll close with this. I think it was time around Christmas. I was stressing about something, if you can imagine that. Carlos was with me. He could pick up in the spirit. He didn't even say, Pastor, I need to talk to you about something. He just said this. On the phone, he goes, Uzzah. I'm like, okay, I got it. So this year, we're going to stay aligned. We're going to take our eye and interweave it like a basket into Christ. And we want to keep that eye fixed. on him until he shows up and overrides the world and its systems. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.